Daf is a daf of up. So we got to the last six lines of Hey, Rebbeis. We were talking about yesterday the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, which types of amas were used for measuring the kalim. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, they're using a six tefach amma, and everything worked out very nicely in terms of the height of the aron was nine tefachim. But according to Rabbi Meir, who learned there was only five tefachim per amma, the measurements didn't quite work out. So the Gemara ended up concluding, according to Rabbi Meir, he must hold that shiurim, chatzitin, umechitin are all halacha moshe m'sinai. It's not based on psukim, it's not based on the aron. Rather, we have a certain mesorah from halacha moshe m'sinai that the mechitin, the walls, were 10 tefachim high. So on this last piece now, the Gemara says, last six lines of Hayam Rebeis, shiurim deraisin, and who? The shiurim are not halacha moshe m'sinai, they're based on psukim. How do you know where they're based on psukim? So the Gemara quotes this several times throughout Shas. Dichsiv eretz chita v'sorav v'gefen v'teina v'rimon. Eretz is shemen u'dvash. These, of course, are the shivas aminim. V'amar rav chanan kol pasuk hazeh l'shiurim nemar. All these different items, all the shivas aminim are used for different shiurim. Chita, and the Gemara is going to go through one by one. Chita, the significance of the shiur of chita is lebeis hamanuga. When it comes to a house that has neged saras on this, so the Tzan, the Mishnah, teaches us that hanichnas lebeis hamanuga. A person who enters into a house with saras, the house is saras, the kalev aksefava v'sandalav v'tabosav biyado, he's holding these items. He's not wearing them, but he's holding these items. The din is who v'hein tmeim miyad. Both the individual and all the items that he's carrying are tamei immediately. Look at Rashi. Rashi writes last two lines here. Caleb al Ksefav She'enu Lavish Bem. He's not wearing them, but rather he's carrying them on his shoulders. Vesandalav Vitabosav Biyado Ochsin Achuzim Biyado. He's holding on to them as well. Tabosav Dumir Desandalav Tamem Miyad Below Shehiyah. They become Tame immediately without any waiting of time, because it says in the Pasuk Vahava El Beis Yitama. A person Haba El Bais Yitama. One who enters into the house becomes Tame. Vechulo Ba El Bais Krina Be. That's all called. They entered into the house. Everything that he's holding, that's subject to Tuma immediately. However, says the Mishnah on top of Daf Vav now, Haya Lavush Kelava, if he's wearing the clothing, V'sandalav Biraglav, and his shoes are on his feet, V'tabosav Betzbosav, and he's wearing rings on his fingers, then the din is very different. Hu Tame Miyad, the individual becomes Tame immediately, that doesn't change, but Hain, all the clothing that he's wearing are Tahorim, they remain Tahor Ad Sheyishe B'chdei Achilas Pras, until he remains in the house for a period of time it takes to eat a piece of bread of K'dei Achilas Pras. And the Gemara explains which type of bread, which type of pras, pas chitin velo pas saor. When a person is eating bread made from wheat, it takes a different amount of time than eating bread made from barley. And also he has a mesiv v'ochel b'lifson. Mesiv, Rashi explains, he's sitting down relaxing and eating. He's not involved in anything else. He's just focused on eating wheat bread, and he's having lifson. He's kind of dipping in with some other protein. That's the sheer, however amount of time it takes to gedeach his pras. If he's in the house for that long, then even his clothing become tameh. And the reason is, Rashi brings a whole drasha here, how we know that takes time for his clothing to become tameh. But whatever that drasha is, it's based on the eating of achilas pras, of pas chitin. So that's how chit is used as a shear. When it comes to seor, we're now four lines down. Correct. Not everything. Not every case has become tameh begadim. Exactly. So this is a case where it's not tameh begadim. So then the Gemara says, Se'ora, the barley, the tanan, etzem ki se'ora metame b'mag v'masa v'einu metame b'ohel. If you have a bone the size of a barley, that's metame if a person touches it, or if a person carries it, but it does not create a tumas ohel. What's the significance of gefen? Gefen, could they revius yayin l'nazir? But a nazir drinks a revius of wine, he is a tame, rather he's a phylitzin iser. Te'ein, the significance of fig is ki grogeres lo tas Shabbos. A person carries something on Shabbos the size of a grogeres, that's going to be in violation of food. Is the size of a grogeres, that's a violation of iser hotzah. Rimon, the significance of a pomegranate, the tanan. Kol kli balibatim shiurin kirimonim. All the different vessels, utensils of a balabas, it's going to be based on kirimon. What that means is that if you have a kli and there's a huge hole that's the size of pomegranate, that pomegranate could pass right through, that's no longer considered a kli, and that's tahor. If you look at Rashi, first wide line down, Rashi says, kirimon de'ad shenikav kemotzi rimon shame kli alav. Until it has a hole that size of rimon, anything less than that still retains a shame kli, umekabel tuma, but when it's larger than that, it's no longer a kli, no longer mekabel tuma. The reason is, says Rashi, shebal habayis chas al kelev. A person doesn't want to get rid of his pots and pans. Uchshemotzi zaysim, hu meshamesh ba rimonim. So let's say there's a hole the size of an olive. So you can no longer use the pot for olives anymore, but you can still use it for pomegranates. They won't fit through the olive size hole. But once it has a huge hole the size of a pomegranate, it's pretty much useless at that point, and then he'll throw it out. So then the Gemara says further, actually before that, look at Tosos, Dira Maschil, Kol Kli Baliabatim, Shiurin Kirimonim. Tosos just points out, this is all true. The size of a rimon is only true, Gavi Kli 8. Misna beperik yedayin de kalim. If I'll be klicharis by an earthenware pot, the din is the tsnam perik shlishi de kalim, ha'osi le ochlin, shirin kizasin. That's apparently different materials have different shirim. So although this mish is invoked often that the size of a rimon, what designates a kli or no longer designates a kli as a kli, there are klicharis that a zayas hole, the size of a zayas, would actually render a klicharis no longer a kli. So then the Gemara says further, we're up to now Eretz Zay Shemen. What's the significance of a Zayas? A Kizayas is Eretz Shekol Shiureha Kizayasim. That the land that every single shear is a Zayas, a Kizayas. What do you mean, Kol Shiur Kizayas? It's not Kedaita, Ha'ika Hani Damrinam. We just said there's a Shiur Vechita, a Shiur Vesora. It can't mean every shear is a Kizayas. Ela Ema Shirov Shiureha Kizayasim. Where most of the Shirim are Kizayas. And that's what it means. And then dvash, the significance of dvash does not mean dvash dvorim. This is not referring to honey of the bees. Rather, it's referring to the honey of dates, which are very sweet like honey. So dvash is kikoseves hagasa b'yom ha-kipurim, like we learned last Masechta. The size of a kikoseves is when one violates the isser v'chil on yom ha-kipurim. So we see from all this, however, alma deraisa ninu. These are all deraisas. So not based on halacha Moshe Sinai. Shi'urim are listed in the Torah. So Gemara says, v'tizara. Does this make sense to say that Shirim Adaraisa? Shirim Miksive, does it write in the Pasuk that Chita is for Beis Manuga and Saura is for Tumas Mace? No. Elahilchasa, Ninu, they're all halachamosh with Sinai and Vikra Smachta Ba'amahu. This Pasuk of Shuvas Aminim is simply used as a smachta, a way to remember it, maybe a mnemonic to remember it of some sort, but this is not the real source of Shirim. Shirim are based on a halacha lemoshim with Sinai. So Gemara says, okay, now let's move to the second thing listed in that halacha Moshe Sinai. We said chatzitza, when there's a separation between the body and the mikvah. So the din is, it's a deraisa ninu. It's not halacha Moshe Sinai. What's the deraisa? Dichsiv v'rachatz es b'saro b'mayim. A person bathes, goes in the mikvah. He has to put his entire buster, his entire body must emerge into the, immerse rather, into the mikvah. Shelo ye davar chotet beino levein hamayim. That there should be nothing separating between his body and the water. Ki asa hilchasa. What's the halacha Moshe Sinai coming to teach us? It's going to teach us a separate din. L'sa'aro is going to tell me that the hair also could serve as a chatzitza. I mean, from the Torah we learn, the person must entirely immerse in the mikvah. The halacha Moshe Sinai tells me that the se'ar serves as a chatzitza. That's the chiddush of halacha Moshe Sinai. K'dirabba bar-barchana, dama rabba bar-barchana, nima achas k'shura. Chotet is, let's say the person has one hair that's intertwined, tied with itself. That's a chatzitza. Why is a chatzitza? So Rashi says, last four lines, Nima achas kshura, umakper alav, and he's bothered by it. It's a knot of his hair, he cares about it. Chotetes. I mean, people can have hairs tied all the time in their hair, but they don't care about it. If he's makbid on it, or she's makbid on it, and it's tied, that's a chatzitza, the mehadak shapir. When it's tied to itself, it's a very tight knot, and it's a lo aili mayam, water won't pass through that water, and that's what we learn from Halacha Moshe Sinai. Back inside the Gemara, Nima achas kshura, chotetas. If it's shalosh, if it's three hairs that are tied with each other, ain't a chotetos. That's not a chatzitza because three hairs tied together does not create a tight knot. So then that's not a chatzitza. What is unclear is shtaim. If two hairs are twisted with each other, ain't yodea. That we're not really sure. So either way, we see that the Torah tells us that you have to, the kol basar has to be placed in the mikvah. The halach which we see tells us that a hair is a chatzitza. Gemara says, really? The hair being a chatzitza is based on halach Moshe Sinai. This too is a din deraisa. Saro nami deraisa ninu. This is based on a pasuk. Dichsev it says in the pasuk. V'rachatz es b'saro b'mayim. What's es b'saro? What's the word es telling me? Es is a tafel le'b'saro. That which is secondary. That which is tafel to the basar, which is that what? My new saro. That his hair also is subject to the dinim of chatzitza. So that's based on a drush in the Torah. It's not based on halach Moshe Sinai. So the fact that the basar must immerse in the Torah and must immerse in the mikvah is a deraisa, and sa'ar also must immerse in the mikvah, that's also a deraisa. So what do we learn from Halacha Moshe Sinai? Says the Gemara, ki asa hilchasa, when the hilchasa comes, lich the Rabbi Yitzchak. Damar Rabbi Yitzchak, going on to Mer Beis now, Davar Torah, which Rashi says, don't get confused, it doesn't mean a Davar Torah, it really means Halacha Moshe Sinai. There's a Halacha Moshe Sinai how to define a chatita. What's a chatita? The Davar Torah tells us, rubo umakber lav chotet. So in order to have a chatita on a deraisa level, it must both be rove of the body and also be makbit. So let's say you're talking about your hand, for example. You want to wash your hands in the tilas yadayim. So for there to be a chatita, it has to be something that blocks most of the hand and also has to be something you makbit, you care about. Let's say a painter, his hands are all paint on it. He's not so makbit, that's because he always gets dirty. So it has to be both makbit and also rove of that part of the body. That's what is halacha, the Moshe Mishinai. So then, just continuing this topic of makbid, rove makbid alav, Gemara says, Davar Torah, rubo umakbid alav, is chotetz. V'sheino makbid alav, eino chotetz. If he's not makbid, it's not chotetz. However, gazu al rubo she'eino makbid, mishim rubo umakbid. Chacham goes there, even in a case whereby he's not makbid, there goes there, rubo she'eino makbid, because it might lead to someone thinking that rubo umakbid is also not a chatzitza. And furthermore, Valmuto umakbid, let's say there's only a mit on his hand. Let's say a woman goes to mikvah and she has a little bit of nail polish on her. It's a mit of the nail. But she left some nail polish on. But she's makbid on the nail polish being there. She doesn't want a little chip to remain on her nail. That's a case of mit, but she's still makbid. That too, Valmuto v'hamakbid, mishum, that's also part of the gzeira. That's also chatzitza on a derabban level. Mishum rubo umakbid love. So those are three of the four quadrants, right? Rubo makbid is deraiso. Rubo she'ena makbid, or miot, mit, and makbid, those are chatitzas midraisa. But if it's neither one of them, if it's not eino makbid, if it's eino makbid, it's also miuto, that's not chatitza on even at the rabbana level. So Gemara asks, why not? V'ligzer nami, why didn't they make yet a secondary gzera? Ligzer nami al miuto sheino makbid, mishum miuto hamakbid, or inami, mishum rubo v'sheino makbid. Why not have that fourth quadrant part of the gzera where it's both a miut and then not makbid? Just cover all the bases. And Gemara says, as we know, he gufa gzeira vana nikam v'nigzar gzeira l'gzeira, because we know the quadrants of rubo v'sheino makbid, or miut and makbid is a gzeira. To add a second gzeira of miut and sheino makbid, we don't go there twice, ain goes in gzeira l'gzeira, and for that reason, if it's miut v'eino makbid, that is not a chatzitza. It comes up to one of the but it's a shy that does come up with a woman goes to the mikvah. If let's say she goes to the mikvah and she comes back, and I've had this a few times, and she found a little bit of nail polish left on her nail, is that going to be a problem? It's certainly miut. But the question always becomes, is she makbid or not makbid? So we ask her a question, different ways to phrase the question. Some phrase it, if you were at a wedding and found this on your nail, a little bit of nail polish, would you be embarrassed by this? Others say, which is a little bit more lenient, if you're walking down Central Avenue and you had noticed you had a little bit left of nail polish, would you be embarrassed by this? If she said she'd be uncomfortable, that means she's makbid. It's a problem of a chatzitza midrabanan. If she says, no big deal, tiny little nail polish left on, doesn't bother her, then we say it's not a problem and she does not need to go to the mikvah a second time. So the Gemara then says, that's all the second category of the halach Moshe Sinai. We discuss shirim, we discuss chatzitzin, and now we're discussing mechitzin, the walls. The walls are also halacha Moshe Sinai. Hadamran, that's what you already described, that the height of a sukkah is 10 tefachim high, that's the height of a mechita. That's what we learn of mechita in our halacha, the Moshe Mishinai. So Gemara says, that all makes sense, hanichal to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, this makes sense, and he's the one who held that the shear of a kalim were 5 tefachim amas. He needed mechitin to teach me 10 tefachim. He could not have learned it from the psukim. El Rabbi Yehuda, or rather El Rabbi Meir, Michael Meimer. Rabbi Meir did not need halacha Moshe Sinai. He learned 10 tefachim walls from the Aron and the Kaparis. So what does he need to learn from the halacha Moshe Sinai that we don't already know? And the Gemara says, Ki asa hilchasa, la good, la lavad, v'dofen akumah. To teach me these three different dinim, that they are also halacha Moshe Sinai. The din of la good is a din of like expanding like a, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, lo good is la hecha the tzarech lemeged o good achis o good achis. We have the wall of a building, and we're able to have viewed as protruding upwards, or you have a wall from somehow, and having it viewed going downwards, that's good achis, good achis. And the concept of a lover, which is three tvachim, within three tvachim, we view the gap as if it's closed, and dofen akumah, which we discussed a couple of days ago, about this bent wall, these are all halacha, the Moshe Sinai, in terms of walls, even according to Rabbi Meir. Fine. So now the Gemara quotes from... Not necessarily. No, I don't think it's stronger, no. So then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, another din, v'she'en lo shlosh defanos, that a sukkah must have at least three walls to be kasha. So Tanya Rabban, the Braisa quotes, shtayim machlokis between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon. Shtayim kilchasan, v'shlishis afilu tefach. These three walls, you have to have two that are full walls, kilchasan, which means that they're 7.5 tefachim long, that's the minimum shear of a sukkah, as we discussed, and the third wall has to be only a tefach. We'll see where to place that tefach. That we'll discuss the bottom of today, but we'll really discuss that on tomorrow's daf. Must be two full walls plus a tefach. Rabbi Shimon argues Omer Shalosh Kilchasan V'Revius. He felt that it has to be three full walls, and the fourth one could be afilu tefach. So what's machlokas, whether you need two full walls or three full walls? So Gemara explains, Rabbanon, Savri Yesh Eim L'Misaris. Rabbi Shimon, Savri Yesh Eim L'Mikra. Misaris is the way, the Misorah is the way it's written. Mikra is the way we recite, the way we read it. So that's machlokas. What does that mean? So Rabbanon, before I go ahead right there, before I go explain, Tosis points out here, if we look at the Yerim Askel, Rabbi Shimon, Savri Yesh Eim L'Mikra. So Kula Moda, the Dashina Mikra Misaris. Everybody agrees. You make a drasha based on the way it's written, and based on the way it's read. That everybody agrees to. Delo achinam nichtav kin. It wasn't for no reason that the Torah wrote it one way and had it read a different way. So they make both drashas on the kri and the ksiv. That's not a question. When there is a friction, when there's a debate, when there's a contradiction between the Mesoras and the Mikra, that's where they argue that the Demar Sefer Mikra Iker, and the other one felt that the Mesoras is Iker. But they both agree there's a reason to make a drasha of both. But when there's a clash, which one wins? Is it the Mikra or is it the Mesora? So the Gemara explains, again, we follow the tradition, which means the way it's written. That's the Misar of how it's written. The way it's read. Besukos. So it's written as besukas. Even though we pronounce it besukos, it's written as besukos. That's only an extra vav by the last one. Harekan arba, because sukas is one. Second sukas is two. Sukkos are another two, that's a total of four. Dal chad l'gufa, you remove one of them here, because the pasuk itself is not a drasha. The first time a word appears, you can't make a drasha. That's just to give shot in the pasuk. We're talking about a sukkah. So we remove the first sukkas, we're left with now one sukkas, and the sukkos, that's a total of three. So dal chad l'gufa, you remove one of the words for the pasuk itself. Pashi l'hu t'lasa, we're left with three sukkos. And Shtaim Kilchasim, two of them must be according to Halacha, 7.5 Tfachim long. V'yasi Hilchasa, the Halacha Moshe Messina tells me, the Garasa L'Shlishis, the Okmeel Tefach. The tradition tells us that the third wall in the Drasha can really be just one Tefach, and that's the understanding according to Rabbanan. He follows the Misaris. Rabbi Shimon, Savar Yeshem, the Mikro, based on how we pronounce the words. We pronounce it Besukos, Harein Kan Sheish, that's six. But we can remove the first appearance of sukkos, dal chad, kra, the gufid, because the pasuk itself needs the word sukkos. So now we're left with four sukkos, pashul arba. So then we have shalosh kilchas, and three must be full walls. Asa hilchas, alalach, Moshe Messina tells me, take the fourth wall, the garas, alervias, and move it down, velkma da alba tefach. That's his drasha, that's Rabbi Shimon, that's Rabbanan, whether we opt for the mikra, the way it's read, or the mesoras, the way it's written. That's the first suggestion of the Gemara. Gemara makes another suggestion, Ibai same alternatively, the Gemara says, Dechuliyama Yeshem the Mikra, goes based on the way you read it. It's sukkos, according to everybody. Hach mifigli, they argue about the following. Mar sever schacha baikra, umar sever schacha lo baikra. Does a schach need a separate pasuk? We're describing here the walls. So according to Rabbanan, they require one of the sukkos. We have a total of four sukkos now, right? There's six, it says sukkos. Everyone paskins, it's based on how you read it. You remove the first sukkos because that's for the pasuk itself. So you're now left with the two sukkos, which is a total of four, but one of them is needed for the schach, that's Rabbanim, and therefore you're left with three. Those are three walls according to Rabbanim. Rabbi Shimon felt that you do not need a special one for the schach, therefore all four sukkos are referring to the four walls. That's the understanding. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says just that the schach alo baikra, according to Rabbi Shimon, you don't need a pasuk for schach, the mishamusa, the gufa, nafka, the sukkah, blo schach lo mikri. Because as we described many times, the definition of a sukkah is a schach. That's how you call it a sukkah. Without a schach, there's nothing to talk about. So once you use the word sukkah, that means it's a schach. You don't have to have a special drasha for a schach. That was the understanding. But according to Rabbanan, he maybe didn't feel that the schach was part of the sukkah itself. And you need a special drasha to tell me one wall is for the schach. And then the last three sukkos are to tell me how many walls are necessary. That's the second approach of the machlokas between Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon. The third approach is Ibais Ema Chuliyama Yeshem the Mesoras. Everybody goes based on the Mesoras, which is how it's written as Sukkas, Sukkos. B'hach Mifki, they're arguing about the following: Mar Savar Ki Asa Hilchasa Ligarea, Umar Savar Ki Asa Hilchasa Lahosif. Everybody agrees, there's halacha Moshe Sinai. It's telling us to do something to the last wall. Is it coming to add on, or is it coming to detract? So according to Chachamim, we have now Sukkos, Sukkos, Sukkos. We take out the first word. So we're left with Sukkos and Sukkos. Those are three only. The word, the halacha Moshe Rishina tells me, detract, which means the third wall, make it half a wall, if you will, two and a half. Rabbi Shimon holds no. The halacha Moshe Rishina tells me, add on. So we have three walls from the pasuk, Sukkos, Sukkos. And the halacha tells me, add a fourth wall of a tefach. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Shimon. That's the debate. What exactly is halacha Moshe Rishina? Now this becomes interesting because there is a klal we have that the Rambam holds. There never is a machlokas by halacha Moshe Rishina. It never does exist. It's never a debate at all. So they all ask a question. The sugya in the second parak of Baba Kama talks about tsroros. What's tsroros? Tsroros is if an animal's walking and he kicks up a pebble and it ricochets and breaks something of an item, you pay half a nezek according to Sumchas. And I think Rabbi Meir argues, says you pay a full nezek, nezek shalom. And the Gemara says that's a halacha Moshe Sinai, even though it makes no sense, we have a certain tradition that you pay half a nezek. But Rabbi Meir felt you pay a full nezek. So you all ask a question, isn't that a halacha Moshe Sinai? And yet we still see a machlokas. Rambam says there's never machlokas by halacha Moshe Sinai. So one of the answers is that Gemara says that, I think that Gemara, if not there, elsewhere, when the word gemiri is used, although Rashi always invokes gemiri as halacha Moshe Sinai, the Rambam does not hold gemiri means halacha Moshe Sinai. It means it's a tradition, but does not mean it dates back to halacha Moshe Sinai. So you have that sometimes. But here, the Gemara seems to pretty much call it halacha Moshe Sinai. So Gemara calls it Hilchasa. So you might have to say, Hilchasa here does not mean Halacha Moshe Sinai. It means we have a tradition, but cannot be Halacha Moshe Sinai. Otherwise, this would be a big problem to Rambam's theory that there are never machlokas about Halacha, the Moshe Sinai. And then back to the Gemara now, the fourth answer here is, the debate between Rabbi Shimon and Tanna Kamma is, Ibai Zema, Tuchul Yama, Kiyasa Hilchasa, Ligareya. Everybody agrees that Halacha Moshe Sinai is coming to detract, to minimize the wall. Yesh Aim Limasaurus and everybody agrees also we go based on the way it's written. So it's Sukkos, Sukkos, Sukkos. And what's the debate? Bahacha Bedorshin Tchilos Kamifka. They're arguing about whether you can make a drasha from the very first appearance or not. So the first word Sukkos, can you make that as a drasha? If you can, that's one wall. Sukkos is the second wall, and Sukkos are another two walls, that's four. If you hold you cannot make a drasha from the first word, so you remove the first Sukkos. You're left only with Sukkos. And Sukkos, that gives a total of three walls. That's the debate, as the Gemara says, that Mar Saver Dorshin Tchilos, that gives you four walls, or Mar Saver Ein Dorshin Tchilos, that gives you only three walls. And finally, the Gemara says, Rav Masna Amar, time with Rabbi Shimon, he gives a whole other approach. His fourth, this is a fifth explanation, how Rabbi Shimon holds four walls, and that's based on the pasuk we had invoked earlier in Daf Beis, in Yeshaya, that the Sukkah is, this is Rabbi Zereshit, I believe, Mehacha. The Sukkah, that the sukkah must provide shade from the heat, from the elements, from the weather. It needs to protect us from the rain and from the heat. Rashi explains here, if they're not four full walls, it's not going to protect you from the heat, from the elements. It's going to send in all the elements from the open wall. In order to provide a complete protection, it must have a four-wall sukkah, and that's his understanding. So let's quickly recap what we did today. We went through initially the concept of Shira Deraisa. We went through all seven applications of the Shivas Aminim, in different contexts, The Gemara ended up concluding that no, these are not really Shirim Deraisa. Shirim are really Halacha Moshe Sinai. These are simply Esmachta Ba'amos. We discussed in Chatzitzin that Mideraisa, the Chatzitzin, that the Basar must be entirely immersed in the Mikvah. We learned another Joshua from Esa Basar, the Tafel, the Basar, that also the Seyar must totally immerse in the Mikvah. That too is Mideraisa. The Halacha Moshe Sinai is that a Chatzitzin is defined by robe umakbid. On top of that halacha Moshe Sinai, we added that robe ve'eno makbid or miut umakbid are also subject to chatzitza on the derabban level, but miut ve'eno makbid is completely and entirely mutter. And then finally, we discuss mechitzin, which are also halacha Moshe Sinai. That's either to tell me for Rabbi Yehuda 10 tefachim high, or Rabbi Meir, who doesn't need that, he learns it from the Aron, to tell me the content of the good achas, good osik, lavad, and dofen akuma. Then the machlokas of how many walls Tanna Kamma have felt three walls, two and a little bit. And Rabbi Shimon felt four walls, three and a little bit. And we had five different suggestions. Five different suggestions. What they argued about, either about Yeshen Lemikra, Yeshen Lemesoros, or about whether Sukkah needs a Schach, needs a separate Joshua, or whether or not the Halacha is telling me Lehosif or Legareya, or it's telling me that Dorshin Tchilos, or finally, based on a special Joshua of Sukkah, Tielet Seil, Yomam, Mei Charif. All right, we'll stop here. Everybody have a wonderful day. Yeah.